Hey, it is so good to be here. Is anyone else glad to be in church today? A little bit? I sure am excited to be here. Thank you. We are going to be in the book of Matthew to begin with. And I really do enjoy preaching. I do not like preaching when my parents and my brother and sister-in-law are gone. That puts a little extra pressure. But I do pray that they have a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm a little jealous. I wish I could be with them. But it's okay. We are here, and we, Sowers and the Ovals, are going to tag team and hold down the fort, right? Yeah. All right, are you there? Matthew, I didn't tell you what chapter, did I? Chapter 27. So last week being Easter, even during Eddie's message last week, I was thinking about what I was going to be preaching on this week and what the Lord was beginning to bring to my mind. And even sitting in church yesterday, I jotted a little note to myself, and it just said, what does the cross mean to me next week? What does the empty tomb mean to me next week? It's really easy to come to church on Easter and celebrate all that God's done. And I just pray that we don't ever forget. You know, when it comes to Christmas time, our family likes to watch the Muppet Christmas Carol. And one of the lines in that one is, you know, that we would keep the heart of Christmas all year round. And that's not the exact words, but it's close enough. And you know, that Christmas spirit, we want to keep that Christmas spirit all year round. Well, I'm here to say that I would like to keep the Easter spirit all year round. I want to keep what Jesus did for me at the forefront of my mind, that would be my focal point in life. I pray that I pray that the empty tomb, when the women went and when the disciples went and they saw the tomb was empty, I pray that that would be at the focal point of my mind. So today I just want to share a few thoughts with you on what the cross is going to continue to remind me of. What it means to me after we've celebrated Easter. What it means to me on a Monday morning when I'm running late and trying to get the kids to school. What it means for me when you know, we're sitting at the desk figuring out, you know, how the bills are going to work. When what the cross and the empty tomb means to me when you get the call and you get a diagnosis that you did not want. What does the cross and the empty tomb mean to me when that thing I keep praying for still hasn't come to pass? What does the cross and the empty tomb mean to me when I'm a period of waiting and I feel like God has forgotten all about me? Well, one of the things in the Easter story, as I was reading through the week, that continued to just struck my mind and the chords in my heart was in Matthew chapter 27. And verses 50 and 51. Jesus is up on the cross. And it says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. And I couldn't get past the fact that that temple veil was ripped from top to bottom. What the cross reminds me of is that now, because of what Jesus did, we have access. We now have access to the presence of God. See, back in the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, they had, you can go back and read it, and there was very specific ways it had to be done, specific ways it had to be set up. When they had in the wilderness, in the tent, there was a specific order that had to be taken down and put back up. When it was finally built in Jerusalem, There was a specific way you had to do things. And what the most holy place was separated by this curtain, which was massive, massive. And the fibers were woven together. It was incredibly strong. And it separated the holy place from the most holy place. And inside the most holy place would have been the Ark of the Covenant. And only a righteous high priest once a year was able to go behind that veil. And even at that, he didn't get to see everything. And what happened is that's where the presence of God was. But when Jesus cried out that last breath, when he said, "It is finished," when he said, "I did what I came to do, sin has been taken care of," God ripped that curtain from top to bottom, forever allowing us access to the presence of God. No longer did we have to go through a high priest. No longer did we have to wait for that one time a year to happen. We now had access whenever we wanted because of what Jesus did on the cross. The empty cross reminds me that I have access. Because see, that cross symbolized what happened back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. God had made this remarkable world for them. And still, they had everything their hearts could have desired. They only had one rule. And with the enemy just tempting and gnawing at their spirit, they chose the lie of the enemy over the promises of God. And that sin, when sin entered the world with the choice of Adam and Eve, that symbolic veil was put to forever, we thought. Jesus had other plans. God had other plans. That sin is what separated us from a holy God, because God can't look upon sin. That's why he had to turn his face from when his son was on that cross, because Jesus was bearing the weight of sin. And the Father looked away. God cannot have fellowship with a sinful humanity. So they were kicked out of the garden and we were now separated. There's this large chasm between fellowship with God and humans. And it broke his heart, because God created us to have fellowship with him. But here's the thing. God knew this would happen and he still created Adam and Eve. Because see, God always had a plan. The cross was always plan A. God didn't sit there in the garden and go, "Oh, seriously? You guys chose that? I was really, really, really hoping you'd go the other way. Come on." He didn't sit there and go, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to think about this. Can I get back to you on the consequence there's going to be? Because I just, this one really got me. This really shocked me." No. God always had a plan. And the plan was always Jesus. The plan was always the cross. The plan was always redemption. And so that chasm was there because of our sin. And every single human that was born after that has been born a sinful human being. We are sinful at birth. That's what the Bible says. And we are all in need of a Savior. And we all, whether you've been raised in church or you don't know what church is, all of us have eternity set within our heart. And all of us have that longing for Jesus put inside of us. And all of us try to fill that hole with something eternal. But the thing is, we try to fill it with things of this world, and this world is not eternal. And we try to fill it with stuff, and the hole just gets empty. It might feel good for a while, but it gets empty again, because God knew that hole inside of our heart, that gapingness that we would feel, could only be filled with Jesus. So finally, Jesus comes on the scene, and he willingly goes onto the cross for you and for me, forever bridging that great divide. No longer do we have to go through someone else But now, because Jesus died on the cross, because that temple veil was ripped, because he paid the price that we couldn't pay, he took our penalty and the wage of sin that was death. He took that because he was the sinless, spotless lamb. He took that so I didn't have to, so that because of what he did, I could walk across, figuratively speaking, come on now, walk across that cross. That bridges the gap, and I can now have fellowship with God. I have access to the presence of God because of what Jesus did for me. I kind of went off my notes a little bit, so just give me a moment. If you're in my class, I'd have you, like, talk to your partner or something right now. Oh, yep, said that. There we are. Found it. We're good. Okay. Whew. Through Jesus' death, we have access. If you could turn with me to Hebrews. Woo, it's going to be fun today. Hebrews chapter 19. Chapter 10. There's no Hebrews 19. Woo, I told you. Woo, this is going to be a day. And I can't really read very well. My goodness. Hot mess express up here. All right. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. See, what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross is essentially he gave us that all access pass. If you've ever been to a concert or to an event and you got one of those all access passes, you could go anywhere and no one was going to stop you because you had that pass and you were cool and you were good. And I have never had an all access pass. I've had passes that got me certain places. I got to go a little bit, but I never got to go all the way. And I always thought it would be so cool to have one of those. I mean, all it was is just this lanyard, right, with this little, like, ticket, and you just show it and you go, well, that's what we have been given, is this all-access pass to the presence of Almighty God. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews tells us that now, because of what Jesus did, we can not only have access to the throne of God, but we need to come boldly and with confidence. We don't come because of what we have done or because of what we haven't done. In fact, those are the things that the enemy uses to keep us from going into the presence of God. See, God is here. He is totally here. God is everywhere all the time. And we have to decide if we are going to enter into that presence. He has invited you. The door is open. Access is open and available. Are we going to go? Are we going to draw near? And the writer of Hebrews says that we need to draw near and go with boldness and with confidence. And as I was reading this out and studying it and praying it through, I just thought, Jesus, that is the thing that keeps people away. They don't think they're good enough. They think they're the sinner that has sinned way too much. We think we're too weak. We think we're not worthy enough. And every excuse any human being can think of to keep them from the presence of God, Jesus is saying, I died for that. Coming into the presence of God isn't about what you do or what you haven't done. It is all about what Jesus did and what Jesus has done for me. Salvation is not because I was good enough and finally got my ducks together and my ducks in a row. I don't know where my ducks are. They're not even in the same pond right now. All right? There's nothing we could do to, on our own merit, to get into his presence. It has everything to do with Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. Salvation is that gift that we cannot earn. We just receive it. So whatever excuses the enemy is just trying to plague you with for not entering in and drawing near to God and going to him whenever you need to, I pray that those excuses and the lies that he's putting into you would just bow at the feet of Jesus, and you would get a confidence in who God is. And in your weakness, realize that that is when he is strong. And take that first step of obedience to draw near. And when you are in his presence, he will give you boldness. We got to come boldly. We got to come confident. And when we are there, when we spend time in his presence, we will be like, I believe it was Peter and John, where people looked at him and said, "We can tell that you are not real smart. However, we can also tell that you have been with Jesus because of the boldness of their faith." When we go into the presence of God, we get a boldness inside of our spirit that enables us to speak when God says to speak. It enables us to act when God says to act. When we are in the presence of God, our ears become more attuned to the Holy Spirit's leading, so that we go out into the mission field that is our world and our workplaces and our neighborhoods. We've been with Jesus, so we know what his voice sounds like, and we are able to hear when he says, "Go give them $10. What? Give them $10. Well, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I just said to give it. Or when we're minding our own business, doing our thing, and all of a sudden our eyes look up in the grocery store and we lock eyes with somebody else and God says, "Go say hello." What? That's not me. I don't do that. Jesus says, "But I do that, and you've been hanging out with me." Because going into the presence of God, we are wanting to become more like Jesus. More of you, Jesus, and less of me. When we spend time in his presence, we know his voice, so that we can go out into the world and with boldness obey what he is asking us to do. The empty cross reminds me that I've been given access by Jesus' death, and now my part is to draw near with confidence. Second thing, the empty tomb reminds me that through Jesus' death and his resurrection, he has won my victory. Because the finished work of the cross, Jesus dying and him giving up his spirit, that the spear didn't kill him, the crucifixion process didn't kill him. He chose when it was done. And he gave up, the Bible says, his spirit. And then when he went into the tomb, and 3 days later he rose again from the dead, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. When I see the empty tomb, it reminds me that Jesus has won my victory. Any battle I will ever face, any struggle I will ever have, has already been defeated because of what Jesus did through his death and through his resurrection. The empty tomb reminds me that nothing is impossible with God. It reminds me that God is able to do more than I can possibly dare think or imagine. It reminds me when I feel like God has forgotten about me, that I know God sees me, God hears me, and he knows, and he has come down to rescue me. When we look at the empty tomb, it reminds us that what's impossible for us is possible with God. When I look at the empty tomb, it reminds me in Ephesians chapter 1:17, it tells us that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. And the cool thing about that is the moment that you give your life to Christ, the moment you surrender to his lordship, the moment then you become a follower of Jesus, that power is inside of you. And oftentimes we don't realize it's in us. We don't realize what we already possess. If that is you, then I would encourage you to read the book of Ephesians. It's a good reminder of what we have already because of what Jesus did. We can have victory over that thing that you've struggled with for years. You don't have to think with that thought process anymore. The excuse of, well, I've just always been this way. Yeah, except that's the old new, and God came to give you, make you be a new creation because of Christ. The old is gone. Wave bye-bye. It may be a struggle. The cool thing about this is some people, that old goes and it never comes back. For others, the old goes and it keeps biting at your heels. It's like, no, I love you. I want to stay with you. We're like, no, stop it. And for others, it's a fight. But just because it's a fight doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. You just get a daily reminder of that promise that God gave. I believe it was, I'm not going to say it because I'm getting it all mixed up today. When he says that the heel will crush the head of the enemy. We get to do that every day. We get to say, no, devil, you're a liar. And there's no truth in you. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of the empty tomb, the old has gone. I have shut the door and the new has come. And it's the choice that I get to make. I'm reminded when I see the cross and I see the tomb. But I still have a choice to make if I'm going to walk in it. The empty tomb reminds me that nothing can separate me from the love of God. It reminds me that we are more than conquerors because of what Jesus did. And my third point, I'm tempted to say lastly, but I'm a statin, so we're just going to say number three. You can sit there and wonder, is there going to be four? There might be seven. Just kidding, I wouldn't do that to you. Number three, the empty cross that gave me access and the empty tomb that won the victory further reminds me that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The empty cross, the empty tomb reminds me that I have freedom. No matter what I'm physically going through in this world, I am free. And again, I've got to choose to live free. Do I have confidence? Yes, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has made all the difference in my life. Am I weak? You better believe it. But Paul tells me that when I am weak, that is when I'm strong. When I depend on Jesus, when I depend on him, Jim and I currently are in a pretty crazy season of life right now. And added some things. And when people start hearing about all the things, they say, you need to learn how to say no. And I said, well, tell that to Jesus. Because the Lord was really specific when we were praying about, do we add these things? Because we still have church stuff. We've got all that. I mean, Jesus, we want to be wise here. We've got family. You know, we've got four kiddos. They need to know who their parents are. You know, is this truly what you are calling us to do? And we heard the voice of the Lord say, you're not exchanging anything, but I'm broadening your shoulders. We were like, okay. So we said yes to God. And none of it has been easy. None of it has been like, ooh, high five, sunshine all around. Yeah. Nope. Most of the time it's how much longer? How much longer are we done? When are we done? How are we going to do this? And people will ask, I just don't know how you do it. And I look at them and I say, I don't know either. But what I do know is this season of life that we are in has caused us both to say, Jesus, we cannot take one step without you. This season that we are in, it's not going to last forever, but it has caused us to become so dependent on the presence of God and the strength of God and the mind of God that we have to depend on him. We know full well our humanity gets tired all the time. Just that, I know you guys know what it is, that state of exhaustion where you're like, I don't even know if it is safe to drive a vehicle right now. I am so tired. You know what I'm saying? And then that soul tired. And yet when we go into the presence of God, that supernatural refilling of that strength, because that truly is what it is. No matter if you're in a season that's full or you're in a season that's not full and you're wondering what's, and the enemy's like, what's your problem? You're not even doing anything. Yes, you are. We've all been called to do things, and God has broadened our shoulders to carry the load. If we depend on him, we would buckle under the pressure if we tried to do it in our own strength. And there have been days where we have. There have been days where it just all fell apart. And it was like, oh, my focus is so off right now. I've been trying to do this in my own strength. God told us, you can't do this in your own. And so it has caused us to be so dependent on Jesus. And so for me, it's such a real and tangible thing. When I see that cross and I see that empty tomb, then I'm reminded that I have access, that I have victory, and then I can walk in freedom. And my last, and this is truly it, I promise. The last thing that I want to hit on is this focus point. There's a song that we sing that says, and if I never, never lose sight of this place, meaning the cross, it says, I will never, never lose sight of your grace. Your cross is all I need to see. Praise the God of Calvary. It's super hard to not sing that. You know, when you try to tell someone the lyrics to a song, you're like Broadway style, bust out for everybody. Yeah, it's kind of hard to just say the words. But that song hits me so deep because there's so many times where I'm saying, Jesus, I need this, and God, we need this, and God, we need this. And then I hear that song and I'm reminded, no, the cross is all I ever need. It's Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. When we are weary, when we are tired, we have to get our focal point back on Jesus. So today, to wrap things up, I just want to read a passage from you from two different versions, one version and one translation, in Hebrews. And that's what it talks about. The Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews was writing to people who were worn out, people who were tired. They had been persecuted. They were suffering for Christ. And they were just tired. Like we read in that passage in chapter 10, some have even stopped meeting together with other believers. Whether that was the threat of persecution or whether that was tired, I'm sure it's yes to all of the above. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that when you meet together, this is when you can exhort each other. This is when you can encourage each other. And when we come every single Sunday, it is amazing to me the strength that we receive as we leave. Just being in the house of God with your brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a strength that comes with that. And again, it says, do not neglect meeting together, even more so as you see the day approaching. If they felt like the day of Christ's return was approaching, how much closer are we? So we need to not forsake the gathering of the believers. Do what we can, whether we're in the seat or we're online or listening in the parking lot. Be connected to a body. Be rooted in a body. Ask how you can serve. Connect with someone through Bible studies, or maybe if you're working, you're not able to come to Bible studies, you can connect through the YouVersion Bible app. It's not sponsored. You can do a Bible study with somebody, or you can just say, hey, you know what, for the next week, you and I, we're going to read through the book of Ephesians, okay, and I'll text you, and I'll see how you're doing. You text me, or you can just send prayer requests back and forth. Be connected to the body. There is strength in that. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to give us that wonderful chapter of all the examples of people who lived by faith, because that's what we are called to. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by the word of the Lord that we have heard, not the things that our eyes have seen. We go by what we know God has called us to do, knowing with confidence that he will give us the boldness and the strength to complete the task he's called us to do. So he gives, the writer gives us that amazing chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, that great cloud of witnesses. And then in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the NIV, it says, therefore, so because of what we've read in chapter 11, which was the hall of faith, because of what we read in chapter 10, which is that call to persevere, the writer says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So what's tripping you up? What's bogging you down? What's keeping you from approaching God with confidence and boldness? What's weighing your spirit down and making you feel defeated? What lie from the enemy has made you forget that you're truly free? When you need to be reminded, just look at the cross. When you have forgotten who you belong to, just look at the cross. When you have forgotten who you are, son, daughter, just look at the cross. And now from the Message translation. Do you have that one up there, Kristen? My handwriting's really small and I can't read it, honestly. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down and start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. When we find ourselves in that weary place, look to the cross. Be reminded of what his death and his resurrection means for us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much for the cross. We thank you for what you did on the cross. And Jesus, we thank you that you didn't stay there. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the reminder that, God, you've given us access through your blood. that Jesus, you have won our victory through your resurrection. And God, because of that, we can live truly free. So God, I pray for the one who is weary. I pray for the one who has been tempted to think they've been forgotten. I pray, Jesus, that today was a good reminder for each and every one of us how much you love us, how much you care for us, and God, how much you have called us. For whatever season we are in, I pray strength. I pray a fresh anointing. God, I pray a fresh revival of faith in their spirit. Lord, I pray if maybe we have neglected going and drawing near to you, God, that today would be our reminder to prioritize you. Jesus, that we would turn our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. I thank you, Jesus, for your promise of strength. I thank you, Jesus, for your presence. And in your name, Jesus, we all said, amen. Thank you so much for being here today. You are dismissed. Encourage somebody today. Find someone that you can encourage. Maybe you can send them a text later this week. But thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Have a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful Saturday. It's Sunday. I need to take a nap. And a wonderful rest of the week.